Guys, how many of you were you blessed with last Sunday? And I pray that you guys were encouraged. We are actually just finalizing. Today I'm finishing the book of Daniel. And I hope you guys have seen, like if you read when I've read for you Romans 15:4, Paul says, everything that is written, it is actually for our good, so that we may know and also be encouraged. Amen? What has been written here is not just a storybook. Are we together? And I think sometimes we miss it because we read this just as a book and you want to tick it. But actually, what you see these guys going through, in a way or another, we will go through it. Am I making sense? It may not be the same. Like we have been reading the book of Daniel. We have seen how guys were thrown into the fire. Amen? We may not be thrown into the fire, but we may be going through stuff. And what we look at this when Vivian did a good introduction, she said, we actually pull principles from the stories we read in the Bible. Amen? So this book has a lot. And everything that is here is relevant for us, whether it's Old Testament or New Testament. And as you have seen, we are reading the book of Daniel. And you look at the book of Daniel, it's so beautiful because it actually shows us a picture of people that actually who are called by God, but they were living in a nation that were actually led by a king who did not believe God. And actually who was in all intention doing things that God actually did not like. We see a kingdom where people actually celebrated doing things that were against God. If you look at Nebuchadnezzar, these were guys who worshipped the gods of gold. They worshipped idols. And those are the things that when we look at Exodus 20, we see God, the first thing he starts with is, do not have any other God before me. And the Bible is very clear. God says he's a jealous God. How many of you guys have ever read that word and you go like, what? A jealous God. But I want to say, I know we have been taught bad by the connotation that comes when we talk about a jealous God. A jealous, when you say jealous, people go like, But when you look at God's one, it's a pure one. And I had a statement, somebody made a statement and I said, wow, that's a good one. Imagine, for those that are married, somebody comes and tells you, you know what? I love you, but let us have other people in our relationship. How many of you guys will think that is a good one? We'll hate it. But when somebody comes and says, you know what? You are going to be my only person, and I will not look at anybody else, but you are going to be my apple of my eye, and you're going to be my center of attention of everything. How many of you guys think that will be great? That's the same thing when he says he's a jealous God. What God is saying is, I want us to be exclusive. Me and you, nobody else. I don't want you to look at anybody else, and I will not look at anybody else. I will only look at you, and you shall be my everything. Amen? So when we look at the scriptures, we see God, and we see these four characters in the book of Daniel. So today I'm finalizing this thing, and I just want to point out three principles because I feel like these principles are principles that we need to have so that we can be able to show ourselves as good ambassadors of Christ where we are called. Amen? We are living in a place where people worship idols. I know they don't put idols there, but I told you these days the idols are very seductive. We hear people saying you need to take care of yourself. How many of you guys believe in that? I'm a fan believer of people taking care of themselves. Certain things that the world has brought in right now, and it looks innocent, and actually it's good. Can I be honest? You need to eat healthy. Can I be honest? You need to work out. You need to keep healthy. Why? That's how your body will be. But when it comes, it reaches a place, it becomes your source of identity. Then it becomes a problem. Amen? Amen? We are living at a time when it's so dangerous. And if you look at the book of Daniel, these were the things that were happening. And imagine Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego comes into this scene where they had been growing in the word, where they were taught the word, and then they come to this place. And I told you, this is the one lesson my mom taught me. He says, you will only know a Christian, not when they are around other Christians. when they go to a place where nobody knows they are Christian and they still stand and walk the way they are called to walk, then you know these are Christians. It is very easy to be a Christian here. We can smile. We can even sit holy. You know, we have those sitting holy. And even that smile that is holy. This is not a challenge. A challenge comes when you go to a place where nobody in that environment knows you are a Christian. And they tell you, can you do this? And you go like, no, I will not do that. I am still a child of God. And you walk with it. And we see these young two men, five, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Moses, and Daniel. They went to this place, and they were actually being forced. Because the king said, choose the best. And the thing that I liked, I was doing research, I found actually Daniel was from the lineage of David, King David, because he says he's from the royal family. Amen? And how many of you know all of you are from the royal family? Hallelujah. We are all royal. And the thing that I love about him is there's something that I want to start. I just want to point out a few points. Today we are not going to be long because I want you guys to celebrate and we eat. We have cake and everything. I want to say three things that I want to talk about when you're in the land of Babylon that will keep you walking. One is character. Character is needed to survive Babylon. Amen? Character is needed for you to survive Babylon. Guys, right now we are living at a place where Christianity is being shunned about. People look down on it. And guess what we are doing? We are backing down slowly by slowly. These days we go to places we don't stand proud of being the children of God. When people say something, we go, you know what we say? I don't want to be the holy than thou. Let me just keep it undercover. Let me be quiet. When you're at business, you hear somebody saying, you know, this business cannot happen. You need to oil the hands. How many of you have heard those things? You need to oil the hand. Where I come from, they used to say, no, I want to see the picture of the president. They used to say, show us the picture of the president. That means you know. They will say, no. You give them your ID. They say, no. This is not the picture I want to see. I want to see the president. You know what it means. But how many of us will go to the extent and say, you know what? I will rather not get that business because I know what the Bible says, that he's against bribing. Amen? For some of us ladies, you find you have been waiting for a man to come along on your life. And it's hard. And then you find this good looking. And they come and tell you, No, you can't just buy anything until you have seen how the car works. And guess what? You look at it, you go like, this is the only person who has given me attention. The other guys in church, all they are doing is shandai. You find we downplay what God has said. And it's the hardest thing that you find, it hurts my heart. And I believe it also does with God, is you find people go out, make plan B because you feel like God has taken too long. And then guess what happened? When you've organized your plan B, guess what becomes the prayer point? God, come. Now what has happened? And God is looking at you going like, I didn't take you there. If you had stuck to my rules and waited and be patient, I would have come through for you. And I will have brought somebody. You know, guys, if you understand the scripture and you know what God wants for you, you will be patient and wait upon him. Amen? God is for us. And I feel like a lot of us, including me, we miss it sometimes. We feel like God is not for us. God is actually, you feel like, hey. And Vivian said something. He says 1,000 years is one day. You know, that's a serious one. God does not have a watch. He's the watch. Are you together? We have watches because we are humans. And you think of 24 hours. Him, 24 hours It's not even, doesn't even appear in his time of frame, because he says 1,000. Imagine 1,000 years is one day to God. But the thing I like about what Vivian said last Sunday is he never comes too early. He never comes too late. He comes just on time. And if you are patient, you will understand why he does that. Amen? So one thing that we see with this young man is they actually did, walked in their character. They were consistent even when they were there, even to the extent of losing their life. And I want to say something with you guys. You are going to be shunned by people because of standing for God. People are going to talk behind your back. You're going to lose friends. Can I be honest with you? Don't worry. If you lose those things because of him, it's okay. And we have seen here with the story of from Daniel 1 up to 6, even when they made the stand, when God came through, the things that people actually do to compromise so that they can get, they actually got it when they stood for God. You'll see the king always promoting them. That makes sense? So my thing is, guys, we need to build our character. Amen? And character does not come by just wishing. And that's where you find, like, when we talk about, guys, let's walk together, let's do one-to-one, it's not anything else. It's actually to give you foundation in you so that you can stand, you can understand. Amen? We have a lot of Christians who are just saved and thrown out. You find people believe, and it's true, they have received Jesus, but they are not, they don't even understand what it means to follow Jesus. And we know the symbol we have, remember the cross? You know, actually, it's not an ornament for decoration. The cross was an ornament of death in time of Jesus. The crucial, the worst death ever was that. But what has the devil come? He has come and made it to look like an ornament. We put them on our earrings. We have them on our neck. You think it's to make you look good. But in the true sense, the cross actually represented death. And that's why you find, like, when you received Jesus, you were saying, I am ready to die. Amen? And that's why you find, like, the things we talk about. You know how people say, I have rights? Oh, guys, can I give you some good news? You have no rights when it comes to the gospel or the kingdom of God. And that's why he said, I paid the price for you. Meaning when Jesus says, jump, you don't go like, why? You say, how high? When Jesus says no, you don't go like, ah, you know, that was in the Old Testament. When God says no, it's no. And we see with the four guys here, we see the statement, and I've shared with this all the time, Daniel 1:8. Daniel 1:8, it says, Daniel was determined not to defile himself by eating the food and the wine given to them by the king. He asked the chief of the staff for permission not to eat this unacceptable food. And I want to share something. Here, when we read, we don't see anywhere saying God spoke to them. It says he decided. Amen? And do you know what was happening? These are the food that were being given were actually food that in the Torah, it had said, do not eat these kinds of food. And that's why he said, I will not defile myself. Meaning, what he read here became his lifestyle. So my question is, what is here that you have read that you have allowed in your life? Amen? Are we good? So second point, and I'm about to finish. Trials come to grow us and glorify God. And I know this is the one thing we don't like, me included. But how many of us know to get gold, it has to go through fire? So, how precious are you? So, if you're precious, it means fire has to go through. And sometimes it's going to be hot. And you're going to scream. But stay there. I'm not saying don't be happy. But stay there. Amen? I read some few scriptures and it challenged me. This is Peter, he says, dear friends, do not be surprised at the fierce trials you are going through, as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad of these trials. Makes you partners with Christ in his suffering, so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it's revealed to all the world. And we see with the children of these guys, even when they went through the fire, people will say what? There is surely a God. So even when we go through fire, there's something that God does with you. Something that comes out with you. And I know it's not something that we have been taught. We have always been told to get out. I grew up with that, where I will do a fast. And now later on when I looked at it, I went, hey, I did so many hunger strike. Because it was a road that I had to go through. So we need to understand, just because you are saved doesn't mean that life will be smooth. And doesn't mean you have sinned, by the way. That's the other thing we need to make it clear. There are certain things that God will bring alongside in your life. And it's not because you have done anything wrong. Some of us, and I'm saying this with love, we may lose some our loved ones. Does it mean he doesn't like you? No. It is part and parcel of what you will go through. Some of us, it may be a sickness that you have prayed, you have fasted, and it is not going. Does it mean you lack faith? No. It's just a trial that you're going through. And I will be honest with you, I don't know why there are people that we pray for and they get healed immediately, and there are people who we pray for and they don't get healed. And actually they go and die at the end. I can't be able to give you that answer. So if there is a time when you have gone through stuff and you've prayed for and you've tried and it refuses to go, it doesn't mean you have missed God. And you need to protect your heart. And I like Paul. Paul said, I had a thorn in my flesh. I prayed 3 times. And he was told, my grace is sufficient for you. Meaning, Paul, the one who wrote 3/4 of this, he actually died with a sickness. Imagine the guy who wrote all of this. Amen? Am I making sense? And I'm not saying sickness is from God. Are we together? But there are certain things that God is the one who knows how you will go through your life. Amen? I don't know why, but that's the thing. So when you go through these things, the only thing you know, everything that happens to you, it is for his glory. Right now, when we look at that, we testify of Paul. Because of his thorn, we say, wow. He still held on to God and he still preached the gospel to the end. Amen? So, question, remember, whatever we go through, we are just tools of God that is going to testify of his greatness. How he chooses to glorify himself, it's up to him. Am I making sense? Are we good? And I know this is not something we enjoy. Listen to this, Romans 5:3-5. It says, we can rejoice too when we run into trouble, problems and trials, for we know that they help us to develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strength of confidence of hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. Amen. So, if you're going through a hard time or things are not going well, it's not because you have sinned. Just part of parcel. And I'm not sure, I'm not saying I know, it may be 1 year, you're out. It may be 20. We saw, hey, I don't know how many of you, I was talking to Sipue. Sipue said he almost threw his Bible away when it took Moses 80 years to get to, just to see it. And then he only saw the promised land, inside the promised land, decades, and in the spirit. You know, that's a scary one. It means there are certain things that God will tell you he wants to do. It's not for your generation. You will actually die without seeing it physically. And you need to be okay with that. God may speak to you and say, I will bless you. And right now you're losing your mind. You want this money, money, money. And then you find actually the blessing will only appear to the 5th generation in your lineage. But the thing is if can you remain faithful and still walk in the walk that God has called you, knowing I'm building it for the next generation. And that's what Moses did. Moses did not, imagine God told him, you're not going to see the promised land. And yet he led with integrity until he died. And it says even nobody buried him, only God who buried him. Amen? Are we good? Last and final, God always has a higher purpose in everything he does with us. Everything that happens in your life has a purpose. Good or bad has a purpose. Has a purpose. Amen? And I know when God says everything, it means everything. For us, it may look bad, but for God, it's a good thing. Amen? But can we wait on God? And we see here with the children, these four guys, they walked in a way that actually brought glory. And I want to show you something, and then I finish with this. When we reach, we're in chapter 6. I didn't go about it because I know it's almost repeating when they were thrown into the fire. Just the same principle. But this is the thing that fascinated me. When Daniel went to Babylon, he was actually 16 to 17 years. And when the book was being written in Daniel 6, he was 81 to 83. And imagine for 67 years, he was waiting on God because of the promise that God had spoken to them. They're going to be in Babylon for 70 years. And after 70 years, they're going to go back to the promised land. But one thing that we find with these guys, for 67 years, they remained faithful to God. They remained faithful. Imagine when you're working, and I was thinking of it, you may be at a working place where people are looking for always everything to bring you down. That's what Daniel went through, and he still came out winner. Daniel 6, we see they had said, if you bow down to anything, if you don't worship this, you're going to be killed. And they knew Daniel used to meet at a certain time to pray. And guess what? Some of us will close the window, we'll go like, "Esh, kematata." They have said they are looking for people. Let me lock the door and close and pray. Ah, Daniel, no. Daniel will open the window and face Jerusalem as the way he was used. And he prayed, and it actually cost him. And the thing that I realize is just following God doesn't mean that people will be happy with you. And I'm praying this with all of my heart. You may not like it, but if you look at what is happening, a lot of prophetic words that were given in the Bible about end time, most of them have been fulfilled. And meaning he's about to come. And before he comes, a lot of things are going to happen. We have seen right now we are not allowed to talk about Jesus. You can't pray for anybody in the public. And I was being told by somebody, one of our guys in medical school, I'm hearing now, they are talking about going to our schools and teaching our kids about it's okay. You can be anything you want. And that they want to put it in our curriculum. And guess what? As parents, as Christians, we are quiet instead of speaking out. And does it look, guys, people will put words that will make us feel like we're not, they'll say we are not accommodative. It's not being accommodative. It's what God has said. It is the law. Amen? And I have no problem if somebody hates me, but I'm not going to condone something that God has said. It is abomination. Amen? Whether they like me, God has not called me to be liked. How many of you know that? Jesus was not liked. People actually hated him. Only the sinners loved him. Guys, let this be your standard, and God will be glorified. There's a scripture that scares me a lot. Pastor Cabo likes saying, Jesus said, "Will the Son of Man find faith when he comes?" Have you seen how many people have actually left God in the church? And you can see that word becoming fulfilled. He said, "Will the Son of Man find faith when he comes?" Because slowly by slowly, we are coming and changing the rules of God. God has said something. There are certain things we believed with all of our hearts. I will never compromise this word. These days, what you have done is, no, you know, you understand. There's no understanding. This is the law. If God says no, amen? No, we will see. Are we good?